Oh, death. Oh, death. Won't you spare me over for another year?
On Friday, the 21st of June, 2019, at 3:30 in the afternoon, I walked into a bleached, sterilised room at a doctor's surgery. Under hard light, I tried to make out a photocopied medical report. To my astonishment, my bafflement, I read the unexpected news that I had cancer. My name is Matt Simpkins. I'm an Anglican priest and a musician. And this series of podcasts isn't about me or about that illness. I've been treated and am well. No, they're about the reflection facing my own mortality jolted me into. I pondered death, judgment, heaven and hell, the last things which Christians traditionally contemplate during Advent. In this, I was drawn back onto the folk hymns and gospel songs I love so well. And suddenly, their insights into these last things became vivid to me. I also plunged myself into the Psalms, those most ancient of songs, exploring the depths of human experience and emotion. Through the Psalms and these songs, and what they have to say about the last things, I became aware of a whispered light, a faint rumour of hope, a slender thread of redemption that's there in them all. Perhaps COVID-19 has forced all of us to consider these last things, death, judgment, heaven and hell. Amid the uncertainty of the pandemic, I'd like to share that sense of whispered light with you. Whispered Light, an Advent podcast on the four last things, death, judgment, heaven and hell, explored through songs and the Psalms. Episode 1, O Death.
What is this that I can't see? With icy hands taking hold on me. I am death, whom none can excel. I open the door to heaven or hell. Oh, death, oh, death, can you spare me over for another year? Oh, death. Someone would pray, could you call some other day? The children prayed, the preacher preached, time and mercy are out of reach. Oh, death, oh, death, can you spare me over for another year? Oh, death, oh, death, can you spare me over for another year? So you can't walk, I lock your jaw so you can't talk, I close your eyes so you can't see this very hour, come on with me. Oh, death, oh, death,
O Death is a song with a long history. Sometimes known as a dialogue with death or a conversation with death, to contemporary ears, it's breathtakingly frank in its portrayal of death, death's effects, and the profound human desire to avoid death. But perhaps that reaction reveals something important about us and our time. In the era of antibiotics and antivirals, of vaccinations, complex surgery and medical interventions, have we learned to become squeamish about death? That luxury wasn't available in the times and places where O Death was first sung. As we face the COVID crisis, wouldn't we do well to rid ourselves of squeamishness about death? Sentimentality isn't much help in a crisis. In the version of O Death we heard played, there's an exchange between death and someone begging death to pass him by for another year. Death doesn't really engage in this conversation. He doesn't need to. Rather, death explains clearly what he does. Takes the young, the old, the rich, the poor. Locking our jaws and fixing our feet, leaving our flesh to the claim of the worms. There's no pretense in the song that death has anything other than the upper hand. Death is simply inevitable. Christian preachers were singing versions of O Death around the Appalachian Mountains in the 1920s. But in fact, the song's much older than this. Like most of what gets labelled folk music, it has a complicated and rich history that is, by and large, lost to us. However, in the National Library of Scotland is a printed version of the words from the 19th century. And here, the Christian content is explicit. It's titled, A Dialogue Between Death and the Sinner. The rhythm and form is the same as later versions, and the seeds of the later words are clearly there. O ghastly death, but thou look'st pale and opens a door to heaven or hell. And wilt thou not with me forbear and spare me yet another year? This frankness is very much like that found in the Psalms. The Book of Psalms, literally a collection of song lyrics, sits in the middle of the Bible, where it brims with ancient, insightful, and devastatingly honest reflections on human experience. It's a psalm that Jesus quotes on the cross, and psalms have formed the backbone of Christian worship since it began. Unsurprisingly, death is sung about often in the Psalms. There's no ducking of the reality of death, nor of our human fear of it. And intriguingly, the Psalms emphasise the interest of God in death. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God, the Lord, belongs escape from death. Who can live and never see death? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. This acceptance of the reality of death contrasts starkly with our culture. But it's not that we don't have death on our minds. Rather, we simultaneously obsess with it and fail to take it seriously. Our death fixation is a fixation with blocking death out. We fall over ourselves to avoid the word death. We prefer to use confusing euphemisms like passed over or fallen asleep. We desperately turn death into a joke at Halloween. Are we simply trying to deny death its power? Many feel we must avoid tears at funerals, so we turn them into celebrations of life. It's a good thing to celebrate life at a funeral. But why not acknowledge the sorrow and mourning that death brings about too? In wealthy nations, medical science and technology is often effective at delaying death. But it cannot overcome death. To live is to be mortal. In the last two decades, the song O Death has become particularly popular in Hollywood and also on TV. Perhaps that's because we sympathise with the pleading voice in the song, beseeching death to passers-by. Yet, as in the song, death carries on now regardless, whether or not we're sometimes able to delay it. But what if avoiding grappling with death has troubling consequences? Could it be that our greed and impatience as individuals, groups, and nations comes from that attitude? We grab what we can, forgetting that all will eventually be lost to us. We grasp for possessions, power, territory, influence, as if we are immortal. We behave as though our civilization will never come to an end. But no civilization has yet proved eternal. And isn't it partly our ultra-intensive farming practices, a symptom of this attitude, that contributed to the COVID pandemic, which is ironically so effectively reminding us that no civilization lasts forever? Maybe the real pain and suffering of this pandemic might encourage us to engage with death once again. The literal deaths are many and shocking, and the consequences of the virus's attack on our bodies are manifold. The increase in deep isolation and loneliness is a type of death also. The Dominican friar Herbert McCabe described death as the taking away of everything. It is the loss of the body, the loss of all communion with others, the loss of all new experience or imagination. It is a kind of absolute solitary confinement in the dark. Solitary confinement has been the unwanted experience of many in 2020. This alienation and separation is often experienced as a type of death. Yet the Psalms remind us that we're able to take death seriously without dissolving into panic or letting it define our lives. Christian tradition sees death as an end to our growth and our interactions, an end to those things we love and value. And so Christianity, I think, also admits that fear of death is an appropriate reaction, and that mourning and grief are natural too. Jesus weeps at the death of his friend Lazarus. Christianity refuses to avoid death. In Compline, a collection of psalms and prayers said at the end of each day, those praying prepare both for the night and for their death. In peace, we will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make us dwell in safety. We know death can destroy everything and everyone, yet we also know the exception, God. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, once preached that if we accept that we shall die and all our hopes and schemes fall into the dark, we do so knowing that God is unchanged. So to die is to fall into the hands of the living God. In Psalm 139, this falling is sung about, described as a kind of whispered light. Where can I flee from your presence? If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I make the grave my bed, you are there also. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the light around me turn to night, even darkness is no darkness with you. The night is as clear as the day. Darkness and light to you are both alike. To accept death, then, is also to commend ourselves to the God who will not die, and to whom darkness and light are both alike. Grasping the hope of falling into the hands of the living God, perhaps we might even be able to start to see death as a friend. That early version of O Death, tucked away in a Scottish library, ends rather differently to later renderings. Here, death, though still feared, is indeed a friend. And a friend precisely because he drops us into the hands of a living God. Now, death, thy sting I do defy, for lo, I see my Saviour nigh. Draw near, O death, and strike the blow, and let me to my Saviour go. Glory to God, I now do see that death becomes a friend to me, to take me from this world of woe, and let me to my Saviour go.